Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called in the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call in the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads and just pray together for a moment. Father God, we thank you for your care, for your love, for your goodness, your faithfulness towards us. We thank you for these offerings we've brought before you this morning and pray that you would accept them, that you would bless them, that you would help us to use them wisely for the work of your kingdom here in this place and further afield. We thank you for your word that we've read together. As we spend some moments thinking on it together this morning, we pray that you would speak to each and to every one of us today, to speaker and to listener alike, that you would encourage our hearts. And you would remind us what it is to be a worshiping family. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A peasant had got into the habit of slipping into a certain church at a certain time of day with somewhat clockwork regularity. There, day by day, he would sit and apparently do nothing. The parish priest observed this regular silent visitor day after day after day until one day he could contain his curiosity no longer, and he asked the old man why he came to the church alone day in and day out. Why waste his time in this way? And the old man looked at the priest, and with a loving twinkle in his eye, he explained, I look at him, he looks at me. And we tell each other that we love each other. The old man simply came to gaze upon the beauty of his Lord. He longed to be in his presence. He wanted to worship him in the stillness and in the quiet. He loved the Lord. The psalmist in our reading this morning cries out his praise and his love for the Lord as well. He loves the Lord, and because of that, he wants to bring his praise and his worship. We too love the Lord, or at least I hope we too love the Lord and want to bring him our worship and our praise. We seek to honor him. We seek to lift high his name. Over these weeks, we are looking once more at our vision statement as a church. Our vision is to be demonstrating God's love in action in the community of Cornton, indeed, in the communities in which we live and work and socialize as well. With that in mind, we are committed to being a number of things: a worshiping family, a praying people, a witnessing partnership, an equipping fellowship, a caring congregation, and a giving church. The first of those is a worshiping family, meeting with God to praise and to honor him. We are a people who gather week by week to reach out to God and to bring him our worship and praise. We seek to honor him and lift his name high. That's what we're about. We are a worshiping family. But what does that mean? What are the reasons for worshiping God, and what are the results that flow from our worship? Well, to consider this fully, let's use that psalm that we looked at. The psalmist is one, as you go through the Psalms, who is forever praising his God and encouraging the people of God to do likewise. And so this morning, let's look at Psalm 116 and see what we can learn about being a worshiping family. The first thing to consider is the reason for worship. There's a reason for everything we do, isn't there? You don't just get up in the morning and put clothes on and walk out the door and go somewhere. There's always a reason and a purpose behind it. We go to work because we want to earn a living. We buy food because we want to eat. We go on holidays because we need a break and to enjoy some sunshine. We go to school because we want to learn. We buy new clothes because we want to look good. Always a reason for the things that we do. But what about our worship? Why do we worship God? Why do we want to bring Him praise and honor? When the Westminster Catechism was written a number of years ago, some of you will remember it, some of you are probably too young to even know what the Westminster Catechism is. Go and do some research later on, ask somebody else. But we are wonderfully reminded within the shorter Westminster Catechism that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, to glorify God. And to enjoy Him forever. We were made to praise God. We were made to bring glory to His name. Now, at times, we don't do that very well. Yet, God longs for His people to be in His presence and to be praising Him. And the psalmist recognized this. He wanted to praise his Lord. What were his reasons? Well, a very straightforward and simple reason to begin with. Love for the Lord. He says in verse 1, his very first words, I love the Lord. He loves the Lord, and because he loves the Lord, he wants to praise him. I love my wife, and because I love my wife, I want to tell her that, and so I do. Although she'll remind me that she tells me that more often than I tell her that. More than that, at times I want to show that love and express it in other ways. So I'll buy her flowers, or we'll go for lunch or dinner. I do this because I love her, and not for any other reason. And so the psalmist says he loves the Lord. And guys, that's maybe a wee plug actually to go out tomorrow and get yourself some. Get your wife some flowers or chocolates or whatever it is she likes to do. Show your love. We're not always great at showing our love in practical ways, are we? So you've been challenged, gentlemen. Wives, you can come back and tell me next week how they got on. The psalmist says he loves the Lord. That's why he wants to praise him, and indeed why he praises him often. He loves the Lord for who he is, but he also loves the Lord for what he has done. David, the psalmist, recognizes that he is a sinner who has been saved by grace. He had done things wrong in his life, and we'll touch on those as we go through this morning. But through those experiences, he has come to realize that he loves the Lord, and he wants to bring his praise and his worship to him. What a joy to love the Lord. We often find in life that when we show love to someone, they might not return that love. But the Lord does more than return our love, because it tells us in the Scriptures that He first loved us. So I suppose we are returning the Lord's love to Him. 1 John 4:19 reminds us we love because He first loved us. A few verses before that, in verse 10, it said, this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. God loves us, every single one of us. He continues to love us, and He will love us forever. Paul, writing to the Romans in Romans 8:35, asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And as he offers things that could, he goes on to conclude that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing. God loved us first. He loves us now, and He will love us forever. That is amazing. And so the psalmist says we worship God now because we love Him. The second reason for worshiping the Lord shows His love for us and gives us more reason why we love Him as well as worship Him. He says the Lord listened. Verse 1 again, I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. The psalmist, David, had been in trouble, And the Lord listened to his cry. More than once that happened to him. And each time the Lord listened. The great thing about our God is that he listens to his children. We don't pray to some distant God. We don't pray to a God, to a God who doesn't care about us. We pray to a God who's personal, a God who is real, a God who delights in hearing his children and listening to them. David the psalmist experienced that again and again. Go through the Psalms. Here's a few just to get you going. Psalm 40, verse 1, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and guess what? He turned to me and heard my cry. Psalm 65, praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. Psalm 66, 19, but surely God has listened and heard my voice in prayer. And what about what the Lord says to Jeremiah? In Jeremiah 33, 3, he says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Call to me, and I will answer. The Lord hears us. The Lord listens to us, and listening involves being active. In listening, he hears and he understands what's going on. In listening, he hears the tone of our voice, the worry, the panic, the fear, the distress, the joy, the sorrow, the happiness, the pain. And for the psalmist, this was a wonderful help and encouragement. The Lord listened to him. The Lord heard him when he was in trouble, and he helped him out. That's why he wants to worship the Lord, and why he encourages the whole community of God's people to be a worshiping family. So let's be reassured this morning, friends, that God listens to us as well. He listens to the sinner's first prayer asking for forgiveness and repenting and believing in Christ. And he goes on to listen to us forevermore. He hears us when we share our thoughts, our cares, our concerns with him. He hears us when we sing and shout out our songs of praise and adoration. He listens to us. And remember the words of that old favorite hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Reasons to worship God. He loves us and he listens to us. And more than that, for the psalmist, and indeed for each one of us, the Lord lifted us and liberated us. The Lord specializes in lifting the fallen and helping the weak. He specializes in reaching down to lost sinners and drawing them to himself. He specializes in dealing with those without hope and those who feel unloved and uncared for. David uses very vivid language to help us understand this, to remind us of his struggles he himself went through. And since he has come through it with the Lord's help, he wants to worship the Lord, and he longs for the people of Israel to be doing the same, to be a worshiping family, meeting with God to praise and honor him. He says, David the psalmist, in verse 3 and following, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called in the name of the Lord, Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. David was struggling with guilt and with fear. He had sinned against God. He has let him down again and again. You'll remember perhaps the greatest sin of David when he saw the beauty of Bathsheba and slept with her. Then he tried to cover up her pregnancy by calling Uriah, her husband, back from the battlefield. Then in desperation, he had Uriah killed. David was ridden by guilt. And he shows us that in another psalm, in a beautiful plea for forgiveness in Psalm 51. And if ever you need a template for praying for forgiveness, Psalm 51 is it. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. David had done other things that had made him feel guilty. He has at times, I think, felt depressed and discouraged. He was overcome by sorrow and trouble. He felt the anguish of death in front of him. It was a dark, dark place for him, and he was struggling. He was almost down and out. And then he cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. Friends, it doesn't matter how dark you think everything is, how far you think you have fallen, or how deep the pit you feel you are in. None is too far or too deep or too dark for our God not to see you and hear you and save you. David, the psalmist, was lifted from the stupor he was in. How many times? How many times as you look back over your own lives have you seen the Lord lift you up? He does it again and again and again. But more than simply lift David up, he actually liberated him. He freed him. Verse 8, "For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." The Lord's not only lifted them up, but he's freed them as well. The psalmist has been set free from the chains that bound him, the darkness that surrounded him. Friends, the Lord does the same for you and for me. He's done it for us already in a sense that, in the sense of our sins. We were lost in our sin, our transgression. There was no way out for us. There was nothing we could do. We had rebelled against God. We had chosen not to be his friends. And sin brings with it punishment, and we were heading for death. But Jesus saved us. He came and lived amongst us, and then he died on the cross of Calvary to redeem us and to free us from the chains of the evil one and the bondage of sin. The Lord has lifted us from the pit of sin. He's freed us from the darkness that we might walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Isn't that a great thing? And he does the same for us when we fall. He does the same for us when we're struggling with anguish, when we're overcome by struggles and troubles. He's there to lift us up and to liberate us. What more reason do we need to worship him? We worship him for we love him. We worship him for he listens to us. And we worship him because he lifts us up and liberates us. He saved us. He's redeemed us. He's assured us of a place in heaven with him forever. He walks beside us and he keeps us going. He's carried us when we were weak. He's restored us when we slept. Take a look back at your life and see the Lord's goodness. And David's desire because of all of this was to worship the Lord, and he longed for his people to be a worshiping family. That is what we want to be too. And we've got all those reasons for praising and honoring and giving glory to God. But what about the results that come? For something happens when our focus is on God and when we are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And I don't simply mean that we get happy when we're singing the songs in here, although that's a great thing to do when you've got great musicians to lead us and we've got great voices to sing it out. There's almost that sense sometimes, isn't there, of a slice of heaven right here. But we see the results of worship in the psalmist's life. The psalmist asked the question in verse 12, "How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me?" And the truth is, we can never repay the debt we owe. God gave up his only son that our sins could be atoned for, that we could be reconciled to him. The psalmist recognizes that, but he also recognizes that he wants to give his all in return. He wants to live for God, to serve God, to honor God. He wants to give glory to the one who deserves it. What we see is his resolve to worship God with all of his life. These aren't just the results of worship. They're a continuation of worship. In fact, our whole lives are lived in worship to God. When we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, when our focus is on him, we're mindful of all that he has done. Listen, we will live right. We need to get this. We will live right. That means we'll stop the sin, the rubbish, the stuff in our lives that shouldn't be there. We will live right. David said in verse 9, "That I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." He says in verse 14, "I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people." He was conscious as he praised the Lord that he wanted to live properly before him. He had failed him and he knew it. He had failed him and deserved punishment, but the Lord had saved him. And his worship of God was leading him to want to live God's way and do God's bidding. He wanted to get it right now. No more pretense. No more trying to do it on his own. No more seeking glory for himself. No more satisfying the desires of his own sinful nature. He wanted to live for God and to bring praise and glory and honor to him. And he recognized his place as well in the midst of that. Notice verse 16. He prays, O Lord, truly I am your servant. He knows he is serving the Lord and he wants to serve him well. He wants to live for the Lord. He wants to live right. In the New Testament, Paul grabbed this in Philippians 1:27 when he said, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. In Ephesians 5:1, he said, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. The call is to walk with God, to walk humbly, to act justly, to love mercy. As Micah says in Micah 5:8, as we've gotten a banner in the back of the church for the day we move back into this new building, the challenge before us through our genuine worship of God, recognizing all he has done for us, we will want to live right. We will want to follow God's leading and guiding. We'll desire to be in his word, reading it, learning from it, applying it to our lives. We'll feel compassion for others and seek to help them in their struggles and difficulties. Our worship will lead to right living, and right living will lead to demonstrating God's love and action in our communities. The psalmist goes on to say that another result of worshiping God in spirit and truth is that we will lift our prayers. We will lift prayers of praise and worship, adoration, thanksgiving to our God. We'll be so bowled over by his love, his grace, his mercy, all the other characteristics of God. We see that we will want to lift up holy hands in prayer. The psalmist will later say in Psalm 134, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of within his house. Lift up your hands in this sanctuary and praise the Lord. And that ought to be our desire as well when we see the greatness of God as we worship him. David got this sorted now in Psalm 116. We read in verses 13 and 17 that he will lift the cup of salvation, that he will sacrifice a thank offering to the Lord and call on his name. He recognizes his gratefulness to God. He wants to call on him. He wants to lift praise before him. Of course, as we lift our prayers, we also lift the needs of others. And we'll touch on that another week as we think on being a praying people. As we lift up prayers of praise, people around us will see and hear. They will be drawn to ask questions. More importantly, they'll be drawn to God. Jesus himself said, I, when I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself. And in one sense, all we need to do is lift high the name of Jesus in praise, and others will come running to our Savior. Of course, that leads us to the last result the psalmist recognizes here in this psalm. He suggests that we will lavishly praise our God. In verse 17, David says he will sacrifice a thank offering to the Lord. He goes on to say he will fulfill his vows to the Lord in full view of everyone. And he encourages us with that final phrase there, praise the Lord. For David, he has remembered again the Lord's goodness and compassion. He's recalled how the Lord lifted him up and freed him, how the Lord protected him and guided him, how the Lord listened to him, and how he now loves the Lord with all of his heart. And all he can do with this, with all of this in mind, is lavishly praise his God. He longs for everyone to see and to know that what he is doing. He is praising his God. He's thanking him for all his goodness and faithfulness. And his hope is that others will see and be drawn to praise God for themselves. Friends, we would do well to lavish our praise on God, to sing it, and to shout it with joy in our hearts. I wonder sometimes, as I look out on a Sunday morning, if we're gathered for something far more gloomy than a worship service. Listen, smile, sing, praise God, give him honor. He is worthy of all of your praise. There's no need to sit with a glum face on. God has done so much in our lives. There's no need to sit there with your mouth closed. We have so much to sing and to shout about in praise of God. Lavish your praise on him. Don't worry what anyone else is doing. Lift your voice to God in praise and in adoration. Our vision as a fellowship here is that we would be demonstrating God's love and action in the community. In order to do that, we are committed, firstly, this morning to being a worshiping family, meeting with God to praise and to honor him. The psalmist reminds us of what worship is all about in Psalm 116. His words strike a chord in our hearts, and we're drawn, hopefully, to worship and to praise. The psalmist recognized the reasons He loved the Lord first and foremost, and I'm sure we would want to echo those words and that commitment. He remembered that the Lord listened to his cries and then lifted him and liberated him. Listen, the Lord has done the same for us. He heard our cries as sinners, even when we may not have been sure what we were saying or asking for. And he came to lift us from the despair of darkness and free us from the bondage of sin. The results of worship are clearly seen in the psalmist's life. He wanted to live right, to walk humbly before his God, to act justly and to love mercy, to live that full life that the Lord desires for us all to live. He was also drawn to lift prayers, thanking God for his goodness and to lavishly praise his God. Listen, when we remember all how the Lord has saved us, we will hopefully be drawn to do exactly the same. Paul urges us in Romans 12 and 1, offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Our worship of God is seen not just when we sit here or stand here on a Sunday, singing his praise and thinking on his word together. Our worship of God is seen in our whole lives. We live for him. We pray for him. We praise him. We are a worshiping family. Let's keep living like that this week in all that we do, wherever we go, whoever we see. Let's worship God and let's bring honor to him. Let's pray together. Father God, we pause before you this morning, recognizing that the psalmist was a man who experienced much that we experience in life. And through it all, he knew you, and he loved you, and he wanted to lift his voice in praise to you. Father God, we experience so much in life. We struggle at times. We sin against you at times. But Lord, we want to cry out our love for you, recognizing your faithfulness, your goodness, recognizing that you freed us from the chains of sin, that you set us free, that you're preparing a place for us to be with you for all eternity. Lord, we just want to lift our praise to you. We want to worship you in all of our lives. Help us this week to live right. Help us to live for you in all that we do. In our workplace tomorrow morning, help us to honor you. And in our home lives, Lord, help us to give glory to you. In our social gatherings, our leisure times with other people, Lord, help us to live right, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. Lord, help us to lift our voices in prayer and in praise, and help us to lavish our praise on you because you're a great and mighty God. You deserve everything from us. And Lord, we want to give you our praise and our worship this morning. Help us in these coming days to be a worshiping family, as we have been all these years. Help us to continue in all the days that lie in front to give you glory and to give you honor. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude.